Good morning to each of you, and welcome to our time together in worship. It is good to be able to gather. As I said last week, as the church, being the church. And today is going to be a very warm day, so if you need to keep your vehicle running and the air conditioning on, that'll be fine. That'll be great. Because since we're transmitting over the radio, it's not interfering with the sound out here. So please do that if you need to. As you came in today, Derek handed out to you our communion elements. And it is a self-contained package. And please know that as the folks were wearing gloves and masks there, that those packets have not been handled by anyone here other than what you saw right out there. Even packaging coming from Lifeway, they went to great efforts, we're told, to make sure that they're clean and sanitary, so please be assured of that. And he also explained to you kind of how it works. It's a self-contained packet, and it has two layers on it. As you look at the juice, you have a cellophane layer. If you take your finger and kind of pluck at the tip of that, it'll the cellophane portion will pull up. And you peel that off and you get to the wafer. And then when we get to the juice portion, you pull the metallic layer off. And be careful. Now, I don't want you to get in grape juice on the car seats or your outfit. And but we will do that as we do following the sermon each time. And I know this is a little bit weird doing communion this way, but it is a sacrament the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And we're going to do it. We want to be obedient in this, and we pray the Lord's blessing on our time as we do this. As I've said over the last couple of weeks, the worship committee has been meeting. We met yesterday to begin or to discuss moving into the sanctuary. But the sentiment yesterday was that, again, we're not in a hurry to do that. And given that our governor has extended phase two to July 17th, we're really not going to do anything but continue as we are until at least after that date to find out what's going on there, et cetera, et cetera. But again, trying to relay the sentiment of the worship committee and myself even, and some others that I've spoken with, the elders, the session, we're not in a real hurry to get inside because the protocols going inside are so restrictive that it would just be very cumbersome, in our opinion. And this ain't so bad, is it? Somebody shake your head drastically so I can see you. There you go. Thank you. This is not so bad. I even have a fan now. So, you know, I've got to order in to put air conditioning up here. So we'll be all right. We'll get there. But again, we want to come together for worship. We want to come together in a wise way. But as I said, we're not in really, really big hurry getting out of here. But as I've said, we've come together to worship. I thank you for your patience and orderliness, if that's a word, coming in and then also leaving. Jill, you're going to be first out this morning, and then we will all follow her out. And but again, we've come together to worship. So let's spend just a few moments of quiet. And you see the prayer there given to you in your bulletin. You're welcome to use that as we prepare ourselves for worship. Now join with me as we are called to worship. There is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And that comes to us from Psalm 86. Let's join our voices together singing this wonderful hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let us sing together.
Immortal.
word of the Lord from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Let us pray together. Indeed, Father, we come to you this morning with hands lifted high, worshiping and honoring you. Paul says for us to pray with hands lifted high, and we do that this morning because you are our God and we are your people. That covenant you made long ago, we still stand in the light of its beauty. And so, Lord, we do come to worship you as our God. Now, Lord, hear us as we pray this prayer of confession, because you have taught us that you are high and majestic and lifted up and holy and in all of your ways, and that we are a people of sin. Our father Adam, our mother Eve, years ago, turned against your word, turned against your teaching, and we were born of that lineage of sin. And so hear us, Lord. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. O church, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. We do pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. As I've said so many times, this teaching that we have given, that is given to us in Holy Scripture of the completed work of Jesus Christ, teaches us, encourages us, lets us know that we have that assurance of pardon, that we stand as a people because of the work of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed, and that redemption can never change. Jesus says in John chapter 10 that the ones that the Father has given me, none shall I lose from my hand. I hope that gives you great assurance that whatever you might do, whatever you might not do, whatever you might say when you should not have, that the Lord Jesus Christ's blood covers that sin, and we are forgiven. And we look forward to the day of that full redemption when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and take up his church and take us home. In the book of Isaiah, we read these words. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Remember last week? Life is but a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Thank you, Lord, for those wonderful words. Let's turn our attention to this time of intercession when we pray for the things of our concern, of the church, of our country, the world. Please, as the message says this week, the phone tree call I put out, little Miss Willow Brady, bless her heart, fell and broke both bones in her right arm. And you know that's tough for anyone, but for a four-year-old, isn't she four? Three. Young enough. tough to understand all of that. So we pray for her and for Aaron and Anthony and the others as they care for her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, indeed, how majestic is your wonderful holy name. We lift you above all things, as we've said here, and we bring our cares and our concerns to you. Let me begin by praying for this church. Beautiful people. And I thank you that you have given me the wonderful pleasure for 19 years now, being able to stand before this congregation. Such a blessing, such a joy. And Father, here as we are in this time of our life, in this virus-filled world, trying to work our way through the times that you've given us. And Father, we know that you have ordained all things, even this. This is not a surprise to you. This does not cause you to falter or to ponder what is and what if. You have given us this for this time. And so we look to you in great confidence that you know exactly what we're going through. You know exactly what the church is facing. You know exactly what your people are facing. And so reassure and comfort all through these unknown times, and give us the strength to persevere. Our Holy Scripture teaches the perseverance of the saints. Well, that teaching is a perseverance through our sinfulness, a perseverance through our life. This is part of it. So, Lord, teach us and uphold us and guide us through these times. And as I said, teach us. What is it you have for us? And, Lord, I see great teaching in this from you, that you have encouraged the people to want to be in church, want to be back together, want to be among the fellowship. Because that's what the body of Christ is and is to be. Father, we turn our attention to our country. There's much good. I know the news media wants to report all the bad and all the riots and all the torment and the divisiveness. And yes, it's there, but let us not falter in letting that lead us to a depressive state. Let us look at the good deeds many are doing. I've seen so many things on Facebook and in the news or in different outlets where I love the one where two little boys on the sidewalk running towards each other. They look like they're about 3 or 4 years of age. One's an African-American and one's white. And they run toward each other, hugging and laughing and grinning, like they haven't seen each other in quite a long time. Not all of us live divided lives. Not all of us live in a racist mentality. Not all of us live with a chip of hatred on our shoulders. And I thank you for those, Lord. Let us spread that love and that wonder and that joy with and to whom we would ever meet. But alas, Lord, there is much in our world today that needs your wonderful hand of peace. And so we do pray for those things. And Father, those in our congregation who are sick and hurting, I see that Pat is not with us today. I see others who are not with us, who are not well. We pray for little Willow. Lord, let her heal well. Teach her patience, even at a young age, as she goes through this. Father, bless us and keep us through all these things. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.
When we don't know. us to a place. Guide us with your grace to a place where we'll be safe. We ask that life be kind and watch us from above. We hope each soul will
Thank you, Rita. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, please join me in Acts chapter 9. And I will point out to you the title of the sermon, Meeting Jesus. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of our living God. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 31. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, and their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But the disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his most holy word. We've just read a very familiar account of Saul's conversion, a very dramatic conversion. So I ask you, what is the story of your conversion? Here we read of Paul's. What is your story? Was it a dramatic conversion? Was it a quiet quickening of the heart? Were you a child? Or was it sometime later? For me, I was 19 years of age, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. Or do you not recall your conversion at all? I'll never forget. David Sides, I can't see you where you're parked, but I'll never forget Miss Betty when I said, asked that question, do you remember your conversion? And she was troubled because she couldn't. And she came to me and she said, I can't, I don't remember. And I said, well, you're probably like my wife. You're that covenant child and you don't remember a single day that you did not know Jesus Christ as Lord. And she said, yes. So whatever your story is, it does not necessarily have to be that dramatic thing. And we'll get to that in a second. Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus is said to be the most famous conversion of all Christians. The story of Martin Luther's conversion comes pretty close. As he was traveling through Germany, he was out and a terrible storm came about. And Martin Luther was so afraid because lightning was striking all around him. And one lightning struck near him and it threw him to his face to the ground. And he was so afraid because he thought the Lord God had come to kill him. And he vowed that day that he would join the monastery, leave law school and go into the monastery. His father was not happy. Now, Luther did not hear personally from Jesus as Saul did. But it did change the man's life, and we know him now as the great reformer because the Lord God showed himself to him in that way. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to get a little bit technical here, if you don't mind. I want to remind you of something we should always consider when we come to Scripture. In this reading that I've just given you, are we being shown a principle that is to be followed at each conversion, this dramatic nature? Is this a principle that should be followed? Or is it a practice? The actual events, is it a practice that is to be repeated? Saul's conversion, the particulars, is this a practice that should be followed? Or in this magnificent story, do we find principles of conversion that we are to pull out and use and know and learn? I've heard this said many times, and this is sort of leading us to answer that principle practice question. Many of you may have said this as well. I did not have that Damascus Road experience in my conversion. Well, is that Damascus Road conversion practice necessary? That overwhelming shock, being thrown to the ground as Paul was and as Martin Luther was. Was Saul's encounter with Jesus Christ an exceptional event intended only for Saul? Or should we expect this to be the norm? Well, I think you know where I'm headed with this. In Saul's conversion, there were some non-typical events. The bright flashing of light, being thrown to the ground from his horse, the appearance of the resurrected Jesus, and Saul's commissioning by Jesus to be an apostle. Here we must acknowledge the practice that Saul, Paul, went through is not necessary to be converted. It's not necessary to be thrown to the ground as Martin Luther was. So we can say that this is not a practice that is to be followed in our conversions. However, there is one major element of Saul's conversion that is a principle that we should see, we should have in our conversions. First and foremost, like Saul, to be truly converted, one must have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. We must have a personal encounter. Saul's was physical. He literally saw and heard Jesus Christ. Today, we too must have that personal encounter with Jesus Christ. True conversion occurs when one meets Jesus personally. We, like Saul, must have that personal encounter. However, our encounter with Jesus Christ is by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by physical sight, not by physical hearing, but through the power of the Spirit. Jesus told Thomas in John chapter 14, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." One can argue that your coming to faith, your being converted by faith without seeing or physically hearing Jesus Christ, is a much stronger encounter than what Paul saw on that road to Damascus. The argument could be made. Paul met Jesus Christ personally, and he was never the same again. I pray you, have seen that change as you have met Jesus Christ personally through the Spirit. Before his conversion, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He had papers signed by the high priest that he could arrest anyone that he found following the way, capital W, which is just simply Christianity. However, after his personal encounter on the road to Damascus, such an incredible change. Jesus called him a praying man. And he preached Jesus Christ in the synagogues boldly. Quite a dramatic change. It is said that Paul was standing there holding the robes and the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. Did not commit the murder personally himself, but history records that he was there. But now he is preaching the same Jesus Christ Stephen was preaching. As I've said, Saul met Jesus Christ and he was never the same again. A person cannot meet the resurrected Jesus Christ and ever be the same again. As I read to you here, there are others who met Jesus Christ. Ananias. As it is recorded here, Ananias was a scared man. He was afraid. He was told to go meet Saul, but he did not want to go because he had heard about Saul and the papers he had to arrest those and bring them back to Jerusalem. He'd heard of Saul's threats and murderous intentions. But Jesus told him, go. Go and meet the man. This man is my chosen instrument. You go. And Ananias went. Do you think Ananias would have gone and if it had not been for the encounter with Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Ananias had met Jesus Christ, and he was never the same again. He was obedient to the will of the Lord. Next, we have the disciples as recorded here. The disciples. After his conversion, Paul, tried to join the disciples, and they would have nothing to do with him because they had heard all that this man had done. They had heard about the papers he had to arrest them. But after hearing about what Jesus had done in his life, they accepted him. And then Paul preached freely in Jerusalem alongside them. Again, I ask the question, do you think the disciples would have done that? Do you think the disciples would have accepted this man who had been murdering, who had been killing, who had been arresting? Had they not also been told by Jesus Christ? Have they not met Jesus Christ and were changed? We have an incredible story of Peter. Betrayed Jesus 3 times. But yet after the coming of the Holy Spirit and understanding exactly who Jesus Christ was, Peter became the great preacher of Acts chapter 2 and on. Peter was never the same after he had met Jesus Christ. Then also in our text, we were told of Barnabas. Barnabas, his name is the encourager. He was willing to step out in faith and fulfill his namesake. The disciples wouldn't accept Paul. But then when Barnabas came and testified to what he had heard about the road to Damascus, and then saw Paul, heard Paul preaching in Damascus, he came and gave testimony to the disciples that this man was changed. Once again, we see Jesus working. Barnabas was the instrument that God used, Jesus used to substantiate Paul to the disciples, acknowledging him now to be an apostle. There's only one way you can become an apostle, and that is meeting Jesus Christ personally. Paul did that. Barnabas told the story. Do you think Barnabas could do this if it were not for his meeting Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit? No, he could not. Each of these I've given you here, that Luke has given us here in Acts chapter 2, just real quick stories of individuals who had dramatic life changes because they had met Jesus Christ. Can you tell that story of your meeting Jesus Christ? My story is a little bit elongated. As I said, I came to know Jesus Christ at the age of 19. Took me a long time to grow up, though. It wasn't until I was about 35, 36 when I met a man by the name of Tim Lovett in Scottsboro, Alabama. Who showed me what living for Jesus really meant. And just as God used Barnabas to substantiate Paul, God used Tim Lovett, who was a Baptist minister, that just God used to change my world entirely. Once you come to meet Jesus Christ, you're never the same again. I hope your story can tell something similar. Not as dramatic, it's not necessary, but can you see the change? Can you see coming to know Jesus, the person, not the church, not the religion, having that encounter for us by the Spirit? I hope you can see, looking back on your life, how that meeting changed you. And then we, like Paul, Barnabas, the disciples, Ananias, we're all put on mission. We're all told, just as Ananias was told, just as Barnabas was told, go. Go. For me again, I was told to go to seminary. Go be a preacher. You talk about a miracle. Again, I pray you have, and I know you do, you wouldn't be here. Sitting in your automobile, listening to somebody standing on a hay trailer, talking about Jesus. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him. What did Jesus say when He told Ananias to go? He said, Ananias, go and tell him what he must suffer for me. And Paul writes here, I was told that. I want to do that. Because he had met Jesus, and he never was the same. Paul could not do that if he had not met Jesus. I could not do this if I had not met Jesus. You could not do what you're doing in the ministry, the mission he's given you, if you had not met Jesus. We don't do this. The two folks who just rode by on the bicycles. I bet this looked really weird to them. This man standing on the hay trailer talking to a bunch of cars. Yeah, we Christians do weird stuff. Again, what is your story about meeting Jesus Christ? How has your life changed? And what mission has He given you? Go. Go. Go and do. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this beautiful message and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit given to us. And I thank You for the change. I thank You for the work of the Spirit in our lives, that we are not the same. We are not who we were. Just as Paul, Ananias, the disciples, Barnabas, Peter, all different after meeting Jesus Christ. And so we do thank You for that meeting for us through the power of the Spirit. We thank You for that beautiful meeting. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Now, let's turn our attention to this table before us and the celebration of the Lord's Supper together. Again, the self-contained package that you have there, the little cellophane tab, if you'll go ahead and peel that off and hopefully don't spill it on you. Go ahead and peel that off and that wafer there. But hear these words of institution of this beautiful sacrament that we have together. There are two requirements whereby one might gain access to this table. This morning I would encourage you to examine yourself if you feel before God that you meet the requirements I'm about to give you, then on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and the session of this church, I invite you to participate with us. If you do believe you do not meet the following requirements, then I would encourage you to allow the elements to pass. Do not take them if you do not meet these requirements I'm about to give you. First, as I've said, have you met Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your personal Savior? This means that sometime in your life you've seen your sinfulness and know that Jesus Christ is Savior and has accepted that through the work of the Spirit. The second requirement is that you are living in harmony with your neighbors. That there is no outstanding sinfulness, no hatred between you and another group, another individual. That you're living in peacefulness as much as you can in your life. Again, if you believe that you meet these requirements on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to this table with me. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread, and after He'd given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let us pray together. Lord, we praise You for Your willingness to take our sin upon Yourself. We thank You that Your body was broken for us. Now we ask, Lord, that You consecrate this bread from its secular use to its sacred use, that we might always remember the sacrifice of Your love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you would, please take and eat. Now, if you would, carefully peel back the metallic portion of that tab. It's a little sticky, so be careful. And hold that for a moment. In the same manner also, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This drink in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He returns." Let us pray. We are thankful, Lord. This cup reminds us that Your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. Consecrate this cup from its secular use to a sacred use so that we might never forget the price You paid for our redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This is the cup of the new covenant. Take and drink in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Father, we thank You that even in this way, we can fulfill the sacrament that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. And He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." And we do remember, Lord, Your life, Your death, Your resurrection, Your ascension, and now seated on the throne, which You so rightly deserve. Father, bless us this day as we have come in obedience to fulfill this beautiful sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now join us together again in singing, "When Jesus Came Into My Life." Let's sing together.
Soul.
Benediction. May the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the power and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen and amen.